talking NRL and having fun since 2008.
We're pretty on it, aren't we?
We're in a spot of bother now because there is no time off with the summer show.
Alpha, Bronco, Sharky.
And we'll see who the dunce is then.
Proudly supporting the Men of League Foundation. Go to menofleague.com.
Rock solid, all right.
Talking NRL, online and on demand.
It's got as cold as a mother-in-law's breath. It is lovely. Right.
Well, I know a bloke who'd be enjoying the conditions out at a bowls club at this particular point in time.
Brutal up there, and it's a little bit higher than where I am at the moment, so it wouldn't be the most friendly of conditions. I'd be thinking there'd be a fair bit of indoor work going on there.
Yes, Alfie, enjoy whatever festivities you've got planned today, and make sure you're back at work next week, okay? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Mm. We're now down to four.
That's in amongst the top five games that I've ever seen. It was a really, really super-duper game of football. I mean, we don't need, 45 to 18 or 55 to 6. I mean, that's ridiculous. 8-6, mate, 70 minutes gone. What a game of footy. Obviously, I don't know if the NRL will bother looking into it or not because, I mean, they're not running the show anyway. The clubs and the coaches are running the show. The bunker, well, as we've said all year, the sooner they do away with the bastard, the better. Have one look, don't show any more, and make your decision on that. That'll do. Seriously, this trainers and fellas running on the paddock, they're going to have to stop all that crap somehow or other. It's got to cease. I mean, these fellas running around that are coaching teams from behind that are, 2 and 3 trainers on the paddock behind the team, setting up defence, setting up attack. Unless they're there for a purpose to give a bloke a drink of water, one trainer, they've got to put a stop to it. The NRL, the rules are chaos. Individual clubs and coaches are running the NRL, and fair dinkum, we've been getting sick of it all year, but really and truly after last weekend, it just absolutely shits me as to what's going on. Up till then, what a game of footy. It was a pearler. It was a really, really, really good game of football. The other one, of course, the poor old Chooks had just run out of fuel, just gone. If anyone can't tell me that Robinson doesn't get the Coach of the Year, well, I'd be terrible. I'd be amazed if he doesn't get it, because what he's done with a third of a side has been remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And, they were brave right up till that point, but by then they'd run out of fuel and Manly run away with it. But, it could be a different kettle of fish come this coming weekend, which is going to be quite exciting. But, that's my thoughts. But as I say, it's in my top five games of footy that I reckon I've ever seen.
Well, stats-wise, that ball was in play more than a State of Origin game. So that gives you an indication as to how much football we got.
It was superb. They were just playing on sheer guts and playing for one another. And that's what the fans and, the older fans, that's what rugby league was all about.
Yep.
Play your ass out and play for your mates. And that's what they were doing. I tell you, it was amazing.
Yep, a good old-fashioned semi. Take us back to the 80s and 90s any day. Look, in that game, I think Parramatta, definitely in the last 40 minutes, there were times there where they were hard done by. I think there were certainly some hold downs. I think they probably deserved, there was a couple of areas there where they probably should have got a couple of penalties for holding down to, second and third efforts, I thought. I think they were a bit unlucky there. But in saying that, and I'm not one to stick up for the referees, but I think overall, I think 8-6 was a fair indicator and I think a fair result in the end. It could have gone either way. As I said, outside of the fact that I think Parramatta probably should have got a couple of penalties there for hold downs in the second half. They got away with a bit of murder, Penrith. No matter what happens in a game, we could pick the eyes out of it, but you've got 80 minutes to win a footy game. There's you and someone else, so it's a 50-50 chance. If you haven't got it done in 80 minutes, then I suppose,
unless 160, will you? No.
That's right, yeah. So, as I said, that's the only thing that I thought. People are jumping up and down about, Parramatta were robbed there and, there was a pullback there and they should have got this and I think it was a fair result. Had Parramatta have won, I'd be saying the same thing. So I think they were a little bit hard done by, as I said. They could have picked up a couple of penalties there in the second half. I think the penalty count was something like 9-2. So overall, they were harshly done by there. There was the Moses pullback that probably should have been a sin bin and a penalty there at a crucial time in the game. And you're right about that trainer from Penrith. I mean, that's embarrassing. That player there was 25 metres behind the play, had a foot stepped on, and the bloke who called for play to be stopped hadn't even spent any time on the field actually attending to the player. He ran from the sideline and waved his hands and told the official that the game needed to be stopped. Now, Ashley Klein, I suppose under the current letter of the law, he stated on the field too, under the rules, I've got to stop the game. But you'd like to think that, he had more common sense than that and just let the tackles play out, because Parramatta were on the attack at a crucial time in the game. They were entitled to have advantage there. And that Penrith trainer, I believe, is going to be heavily fined and may actually be stood down for the remainder of the year because it's not his first dance regarding this matter. And you're right, in the off-season, they're going to have to recalibrate this rubbish. One of the reasons was that because, they don't want the referees to basically become doctors and have to decide the welfare of players. Well, let me tell you, I know this is a fair statement given how much we give it to referees, but I'd rather them have the say in whether play stops rather than a trainer from a footy side, because let's be honest, one's supposed to be impartial. We can argue that. But one's supposed to be impartial for 80 minutes every weekend, and the other, well, you can't blame them for not being impartial because they're working for the club.
Absolutely, and you're right.
We've lost common sense in the game.
Yeah, surely, even the players themselves, they know if their mate's been really badly hurt, and they will, and 9 out of 10 will, they'll say, even some of the opposition players will say, "Rep, he's really badly hurt," but that was just ridiculous. I mean, that was bordering on just unfair play. Either of those sides didn't deserve to be a loser. They really didn't. But sadly, there has to be, and that
has to be. Yep. But
boy, what a game of footy!
Off the field for a moment. Now, of course, 2 weeks ago, exclusively here, I touched on there was a coach that was ready for the old heave-ho. We've talked about the problems at the West Tigers. Well, it's just got worse since then. I mean, they were supposed to have a board meeting yesterday afternoon to bring this all to a head. And at the last minute, they couldn't even organise that properly. So what we've got is a case. Well, it's been postponed. So they're going to be in the news again until this board meeting finally takes place, and what transpires is what I suggested a fortnight ago. I mean, if I was Madge McGuire watching all of this play out, I know he, in the end, financially, he can't lose. They're going to have to pay him out, I think, upwards of $700,000 to walk away. But he should just pick up the phone today and say, you know what, this has turned into some sort of fiasco. My name here is involved. You're not doing anything for my credibility. Let's just part ways. Just get someone to write up the contract. And obviously, you blokes, do what you've got to do, but I won't be back.
Yeah, just sign the check and, we can part ways amicably. And that's, there must be serious, serious problems at the club itself. There's got to be, hasn't there? Surely the cattle he's got are most likely not coachable by him. But then again, maybe they're not coachable by anybody. So I think that they have a very similar issue to what the Broncos had. And I think maybe a real good clean out with the massive vacuum cleaner from top to toe. And I think that may be the answer.
Interestingly, though, we've got a situation now in the last 12 to 18 months, Bronk. It's no longer a case of whether a coach has the ability to coach and got the track record. Have you noticed that it seems now that the most important prerequisite is the ability to attract and recruit players? So that's become the most important item on the agenda when it comes to selecting a coach now, rather than anything to do with their track record or their ability to coach or their experience.
G3.
I mean, we've got a point in case, this is the club, right? So we've got a situation where a premiership winning coach who, you know, everyone knows, Blind Freddy knows he can coach, but clearly he doesn't have the cattle there. He's going to be shown the door. And the bloke that they're after is a bloke who's untried at first grade level. But what you keep hearing is that, oh, Cameron Seraldo, he's the next available hottest coach on the market. He'll be able to attract players. But hang on, he's Coach Duckegg at this point.
Right. So is that the prerequisite?
So isn't it, it's crazy, isn't it, to think we cast aside people who can coach with runs on the board.
Mm.
With a view to hiring inexperienced people who haven't been in the chair before, but, this presumption that the ability to attract players is the reason that they get the Guernsey.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. It's bizarre times. Is that all it comes down to? Or who you know, what players we think that person can attract?
A super salesman or something, or, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, no matter who you put in there, you could put a bloke in a clown suit. If your club wins very few games in the following season,
very hard.
That won't help you attract anyone, no matter who the coach is.
It's very difficult. I reckon that Bellamy or Bennett, I reckon that they would have serious, serious problems, you know, given the fact that, you know, they'd have to give them $10 million a season. But you know, you're right. One bad season, they wouldn't attract players. Who wants to go to a club that is in just complete disarray?
That's the problem. There's been so much DNA damage now that they don't even know who they are themselves. So if you were Cameron Seraldo, why would you even consider going to that particular club?
Yeah, exactly. If ever there was a poison chalice, that'd be lovely on your first on your CV as your first, you know, gallop into the big time.
I mean, I hate to say it, but there are other clubs that, you know, have had tough times doing it tough, but they're obviously, you know, either in rebuild phases or there's light at the end of the tunnel.
But I
don't see any glimmer of hope at the moment for this club, and it pains me to say it because I've got a bit of a soft spot for them. I mean, you know, you were years ago a Balmain Tigers fan, my father was, so yeah. I've got a soft spot for them. But they're a rabble.
It all starts at the top end, mate. It doesn't start at the bottom. Yeah.
Well, and the board can't, you know, stick to a 4 p.m. Meeting planned to oust the current coach.
Seriously, that's not even kindergarten stuff, is it?
That's where they're at, obviously.
Too true.
The first release of tickets for the NRL Grand Final on October 3 at Suncorp, they've been sold out. Now, what happens here is that given that there's four teams left, there's a certain allocation that's been put aside for the winning clubs. They'll be released on Monday, and they'll be called supporter base for those teams who actually make the grand final. But, Bronk, you'll be all sold out for the first ever grand final at Suncorp.
Fortunately, we've, touch wood, been pretty well COVID safe. Mackay, Townsville, Rocky, Redcliffe, Gold Coast, they've had some jolly good games of NRL football that they wouldn't have been in a snowball's chance in hell of getting. Oh, Toowoomba, none of us would have been a snowball's chance in hell of getting some of those games. And that was really something really special. The grand final, of course, irrespective of where that was going to be played, it'd be a sellout anyway. But having it at Suncorp, which is, you know, one of the better grounds in world footy to watch any sort of football game. I can't see that being terribly harmful in its own way either. I think that's going to be it's going to be good. We'll watch a game of footy, especially an NRL grand final where you know, there's going to be, well, you're going to have your fair share of fans and you know, and non-fans of each side. So it's going to be well supported. And
look, let's be honest, we would have watched a NRL grand final be played on a netball court if we had to.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, this is much better. Well, speaking of football and on the field, we have grand final qualifiers Friday night, 7:50 p.m. at Suncorp. $1.77, the Rabbits up against the Seagulls at $2.05. Naturally, you'll see it on Fox and Beasting TV.
Going to be difficult now. I'm extremely confident of South versus the Pennies that night because of the fact that, you know, the old Wiley coaches figure out ways of beating other teams, be it through the media or be it on the football field. Old Wiley Coyote, he's only really got to tie down one guy. So, look, I'm sure that he'll have something planned. I really think that worries me a little bit that Manly had an easy win. They would have been better off having a much tougher game. I'm going to go for the Bunnies again. It could just kick me in the arse and Manly could win by, you know, trillion. But, yeah, look, I just think that the old Wiley coach will have something up his sleeve to counteract Trbojevic, because I tell you what, without him, mate, they really haven't got very much. What he does on the field, you know, when he starts roving along behind that back line, he creates problem for defences, because defences then are watching him and not watching the guys with the footy. I'm pretty sure Bennett will make sure that the bloke with the football is the only bloke that's going to do you any damage. And it would be a great result, particularly for Bennett, because, I mean, you know, well, this will be his last year in Sydney. And whether or not, you know, he has a gig up here in Queensland or has fallen off the perch before another Brisbane side gets him, I've got no idea. But what is he now? He's 114 or something, isn't he? And, well, he looks it. I don't know whether it's the missus or what, but something's sort of aging.
Well, the missus he took up with from the Hunter, she's supposed to make him more youthful. I don't know if that's happened.
But it's not working.
What's the Alfred doing here, by the way? Can you do your great Alfred impersonation while you give the tip?
You know, the week off is going to be much to their advantage. And with Bennett, with the knowledge there of Bennett, I really think that Manly are going to hold all the aces. And, yeah, look, I think that the Sea Eagles will be much too strong. But you notice how we sort of almost went for the Rabbits but swung late.
I'm actually, for the first time ever, going to go against the side who's had the week off. I'll tip Manly. If that forward pack get it right on the weekend, there's no excuse for them not to, because they've had a pretty cruisy ride. If they switch on and they're prepared to knuckle down and get it done, I think they could win and win well.
Yeah, they've been a little bit underwhelming. So maybe you could be right. Maybe they need to stand up and be counted, because, forwards win that. Whoever wins that territory battle in the guts, yeah, that's going to be really interesting. And also, you know, the one thing that gets me is that I know Cherry Evans is playing quite good football, but boy, oh boy, tell you what, to outpoint Reynolds, he'll be doing well, because he's the best bandmaster in the game at the moment. And that's going to be really interesting. I mean, I could very easily change my mind, very easily, but it sticks.
There's merits for both, isn't there? You can see it both ways.
I'm hoping that we're going to get a jolly good game of footy, and I think we just may, yeah.
I just wonder whether Manly have, with the young fellas and the size, if they're going to play the power game, and if they get that right.
Yeah, that's right.
Alfred and the chairman on the Seagulls and the vice-captain, the smart play with the Wabbits. We move to Saturday afternoon. Nice to see footy finals on an afternoon. Hallelujah. I don't care how they got to the decision, but it's a good thing for our game.
Absolutely brilliant.
We've got the Storm playing the Panthers. It's first v. second, $1.35 favourites the Storm. The pennies at $3.25, a bit of value there. 4 p.m., KO, Fox and Beasting TV. This will be at Suncorp as well.
Holy smoke. Well, I have no doubt at all that Melbourne will win. No doubt whatsoever. Melbourne's forward pack, definitely stronger than Penrith. I can't find a good reason to tip the Panthers. I really can't. Bellamy will certainly do a Bennett on Cleary. Whether it's Kaufusi or Welsh, they'll definitely do a number there. And I really, really do believe that the Pennies, as fit as they always seem to be, I think their grand final was played the other night against Parramatta. Sir Alfred, of course, being a man from the, you know, man of the mountains, got this thing for the Pennies. Mm. You know, the Panthers, you know, all the little nicknames that he has for them. Mm. Look, I don't think there's any doubt at all that Sir Alfred will be hanging on. Well, I'd say there'd be a few dollars involved because, you know, what'd you say, $3 something?
$3.25. You'll have his Christmas presents bought with this one.
I would say that he's likely as not to cut loose, and I'd say that their price will shorten considerably the minute Alpha walks out of the TAB.
Look, if you ever wanted to put a bet on during a footy season, it would be the Storm, surely, any year against any opposition in a grand final qualifier to get to the big dance. They very rarely stuff that up.
Here, yeah.
In fact, I can only recall one year that they've done it in more recent times. So winning a grand final, well, that's a different story. But they get to the big dance more times than not. So can't see any reason to think that they won't do it this weekend. So it's the Storm for the chairman, Storm for the vice-captain, and Alfie's the only loopy-loop this week.
Yeah, well...
Fair enough.
I'm sure somewhere along the line there is an affiliation with that crew, so, yeah.
Let's pray that we're not here next Tuesday talking about referees.
It's the players and the fans' game. Let's just try and leave it at that if we can, fellas. Please, if you possibly can. And listen, while I got you know... Our mate across the road, he's been going like a house on fire lately. He's had the yard looking absolutely pristine. I mean, you could eat off the front lawn. So anyway, apparently, he says to Mrs. Kev, listen, how about we go out to dinner Saturday night? She nods the head and says, yeah, look, that'd be lovely. You know, along comes the waiters, out comes the meal. Wow. Mrs. Kev says, oh, hang on, darling. You know, when we're at home, that you always say grace before we have our meal. Oh, well, as you know, mate, something's always got to go wrong with our mate. What do you think it says? At home, that's at home. But here, the chef knows how to cook. Well, you know the rest.
Proudly supporting the Men of League Foundation. Go to menofleague.com.